The Sloth Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Sloth Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/Sloth Sports Report. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Sloth Sports Show. I'm your host, as always, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Sloth. So thank you for joining me for another episode. I promise that there will be two episodes this week to just get caught back up after missing an episode last week. So we're back here today for another episode. And yes, we will be continuing our NFL season previews this week. A new division that we're going to be breaking down team by team. What they do the offseason, what are we expecting from them this season, what are some training camp battles to keep an eye on, personal things that I'm keeping an eye on, you know, maybe from a fantasy perspective, maybe from a team perspective, how they're going to work this season, those type of things. So we're going to break down the AFC East today, as you can tell from our thumbnail: Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, New York Jets, and Miami Dolphins. I'm excited about this one. Mainly the first team we're going to be talking about, because I think there's some easy favorites in this division for the Super Bowl this year, and it's going to be the first team we talk about. But before we get there, thank you for those joining us live on YouTube. For those of you checking out on YouTube after the live stream uploaded on the channel, thank you as well for tuning in and checking it out. The support means a lot. And also those on the podcast listening as well, thank you for tuning in and checking out the Sloth Sports Show. Those of you on YouTube, I mean, you're here anyways. Why not like and subscribe? I mean, if you like the content and you want to keep coming back on the regular and keep checking out our season previews, the more content we have as the season goes along, why not subscribe? Like and subscribe to support the channel. We're growing and growing and trying to get better and better each and every week. And also on YouTube, why not hit that notification bell? We've got a little bit of a wonky schedule here all the time, you know, going back and forth between places we're staying at and doing the show from. So the easiest way to stay up to date with the show and with the channel is to hit that notification bell so you're reminded every time we go live and every time we upload. Easiest way to keep up to date with the Sloth Sports Show. And on the podcast, just share it. I mean, the sharing goes a long way. Keep sharing it. And giving reviews as well. I very much appreciate all of the support you guys have on the channel. So before we get started on today's episode talking about the AFC East, we do have some breaking sports news to discuss as a sports show. Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant just recently, in a matter of minutes right when we went live, has requested a trade from the New York Knicks. Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. So it seems Kyrie Irving might stay in Brooklyn, but Kevin Durant appears to be out. So we'll see what suitors come into place for Kevin Durant, one of the best players at the position and best players even in the league when he is on his game. So we'll see what kind of suitors he has here in the next few days, next few weeks, depending on how long it takes to get a potential trade in the works for a star of his caliber. Maybe the Portland Trailblazers, team him up with Dame Dalla, maybe. In Portland could be something we see Damian Lillard showcasing that on his social media a couple weeks back when all this, when all this little turmoil started with Kevin Durant, Kyrie, the Brooklyn Nets, that type of situation going on. Dame Dalla is putting his old voice in the, putting his name in the hat, getting his old voice out there. To see what he can do to try to sway someone his way. So Kevin Durant requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets is our breaking news of today's show. Now let's get into it. AFC East time. We're going to start talking about these four teams in this division, breaking down their offseason, new signings, new head coach hirings even in this week's episode, and those types of things, and just ultimately what is in store this season in the AFC East. So let's go ahead and kick it off with a team that, like I said, could be Super Bowl potential this year, the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills, you know, I said it the last, 2 years, they were my favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Didn't happen the last 2 years, but this year might finally be the year for the Buffalo Bills to return to the Super Bowl, the team that made it four straight times, lost all four games in the Super Bowl. Can this be the year in Buffalo where the Bills finally close it out. Last year, they lost in the AFC divisional round playoffs to the Kansas City Chiefs in an overtime drawdown. Pretty much a duel between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen toward the end of that game. You know, lost the coin toss. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs went down, scored, won, and then faced off against the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals ultimately losing in the Super Bowl. This time, however, can the Bills close out a big game in the playoffs and end up making it to a potential Super Bowl? That is the question for the Buffalo Bills right now. They've added a lot of pieces this offseason, drafted some high-caliber guys in the draft as well that they're really excited about. And ultimately, this is a young team and a very promising team. More playoff experience under their belt now going into this year. More time for growth and maturity this time around. Is it all lined up for the Bills' return to the Super Bowl with quarterback Josh Allen? Like I said, that is the question. And ultimately, it's all on Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the guy. I mean, you'd have to see the odds. He's still up there as one of the, you know, high odds to win the NFL MVP award yet again. Last year, he was my pick to win it. But ended up going to my boy Aaron Rodgers up here in the corner behind me for the second year in a row. But Josh Allen, he still has MVP hopes this year. His team still has Super Bowl hopes this year. They just need to put the pieces together and close out these big games in the playoffs and to see what they can do. So let's talk about this team more in depth. I mean, Josh Allen, first and foremost, at quarterback. What an amazing guy Josh Allen is. We're being able to see him earlier this offseason, you know, publicly facing off against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady in the match alongside Patrick Mahomes. Great to see him interacting with those guys, some legends of the game, you know, getting some jabs here and there even. But Josh Allen seems like a great overall guy, tremendous quarterback. You know, excellent arm strength. The guy can run the ball. He is flat out a stud at quarterback. One of the best at the position this year. Easily will be a top three quarterback in my opinion in this year's season. And then also, I mean, he's appeared on, you know, Bustin' with the Boys. Shout out to those guys. Another show he was on there with George Kittle. He's at tight end U right now in Tennessee, or was there this week in Tennessee. So hanging out with some tight ends, some, you know, college guys, some youth guys as well. You know, just making the sport better as a whole at those camps that they're doing. So Josh Allen, like I said, great guy, tremendous quarterback, it seems. He is the focal point of this team. He is a franchise guy, was paid last offseason to be that guy. He is the one that's going to be leading this team, and it all relies on him to see how far they go this season. But now let's talk about his weapons, and specifically I want to talk about the wide receiver share. For the Buffalo Bills, the kind of guys that they have that's going to be catching the ball from Josh Allen. Of course, you got to start with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, a top 10 wide receiver. Some have him ranked even higher than that. But I think, you know, for sure a top 10 wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. The guy's incredible, one of the most smooth route runners in the league. Ever since coming to Buffalo from the Minnesota Vikings, he's been tremendous and very consistent year after year with the Buffalo Bills. And him and Josh Allen just keep building a great repertoire together. You know, a quarterback, number one receiver type connection that those two have. But what about behind them? I mean, we know, like I said, consistently, Steph Diggs is going to put it on every single week and put up the stats, get the touchdowns every single week. That's the kind of guy that he is. I'm talking about more so the guys behind him. Because you have Gabriel Davis, who was an absolute beast last year in the playoffs. I think it was specifically that Chiefs game, multiple touchdowns in that game. There are a lot of high hopes for him going into the season because of how he wrapped up the year last year. They also added in Jamison Crowder from the New York Jets in the offseason. And then you have Isaiah McKenzie, a young, promising guy that I'm really excited about this year. And then rookie Khalil Shakir out of Boise State as well. How are they going to use these wide receivers in this offense? And specifically, what is this offense going to look like? I mean, their offensive coordinator, Brian DeBall, went over and now is the head coach of the New York Giants. So just went down the road a little bit, staying in the New York State. But now this new offense, how are they going to operate? Are they going to try to keep things pretty much the same way for Josh Allen, keep things consistent for him, which would, you know, make things a lot easier and smoother for the Buffalo Bills this year. But this wide receiver share, that's what I'm interested about. Because a lot of people I'm seeing are very high on Gabriel Davis this year because of, you know, like I said, the end of the year he had last year. Everyone has always said that, for the last couple of years, that Gabriel Davis is a guy that's primed to break out. He just needs more opportunities. Now he's slated to look like the number two wide receiver in this offense. But will Jamison Crowder challenge him for that role? When you talk about target share, when you talk about the total receptions by the end of the season, is Jamison Crowder going to be the one to rival Gabriel Davis and end up maybe being that number two wide receiver? You know, the more veteran guy, the guy that's been here, been in the league for a while. Can Jamison Crowder rival Gabriel Davis as that number two wide receiver? And I'm starting to see a lot more recently about Isaiah McKenzie being the guy to look for, specifically in fantasy football, specifically maybe in best ball formats. If you want a late round guy, a guy you're going to get a great average average drafted position, great ADP, Isaiah McKenzie might be the guy you want out of this Bills offense. Just as you know, like I said, especially in best ball format, because there's games where he can take off, and he could be the guy one random given Sunday for this Bills offense. But then also Khalil Shakir, I mean, high draft pick spent on him. What are they going to do with him out of Boise State? They, you know, they used him a lot in Boise State. And how will the Bills implement him as well into this offense with these weapons to get him on board and start getting him figured out, teaming up with Josh Allen? So with the running backs underway, the wide receivers underway, let's also look at the tight end, Dawson Knox. He's expected to come back another season. Also expected to be another consistent guy like he has been the last probably 2, maybe 3 years in Buffalo, and also see what they can do with him. He's got a great connection with Josh Allen already in place. And then behind him, you know, O.J. Howard, he's coming in also from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now two tight ends that they can work with now in Buffalo, Dawson Knox and O.J. Howard, teaming up, trying to, mix in and out with all these weapons that they have. And also at running back, I mean, to kind of just wrap it up with this offense side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills, running back as well. How much of a running back factor and run game factor will the Buffalo Bills implement this season? It's not something we've seen the last couple of years in the Josh Allen era in Buffalo. Specifically, I mean, Josh Allen's pretty much been their main runner. They don't really rely on, you know, one guy in particular out of the backfield. It was a lot of Devin Singletary. They started working in Zach Moss as of late, especially last season. But now this year, you're also adding in James Cook out of Georgia. And how much are they going to use him as a factor in the running game, per se? I mean, James Cook did a lot of work as a receiver at Georgia and occasionally got in, you know, as a more traditional running back, you know, three-down back style role. But they didn't use a lot of him in that role in Georgia. You know, had a very strong running back by committee with the Georgia Bulldogs national championship team. Didn't use James Cook too much out of the backfield as a more traditional runner. Do the Bills try to get him back toward that? You know, of course, the brother of Dalvin Cook. They get him maybe into a more three-down back kind of role in that offense to try to make their running game more of a factor in their offense to open things up for Josh Allen. Or they keep things basic, doing what they've been, you know, the last couple of years in Buffalo, a more committee-style approach to the run game, mix in Singletary, mix in Moss, and then mix in James Cook. You know, you can do some swing passes with James Cook. You can line him up at wide receiver as well. He's done a lot of things in Georgia, and, you know, easily why they're really excited about him and getting him in this year's draft. And I'm excited to see how they implement him into this offense as well. So this running back room, what kind of factor will they have is what I'm paying attention to for the Buffalo Bills going into training camp. How do they use these guys? What does the run game look like once they get the team drills? How often do they implement the run game into their offense? And also, where do they line up James Cook within their offense? In the backfield, you know, in the slot, out wide even, he's played there in Georgia as well. What do they do with James Cook in this offense? And what does the running back factor look like in this offense in Buffalo? So now let's go to their defense. And of course, you talk about the defense of the Buffalo Bills, you're going to talk about two players in particular that are going to impact this team this year that are the new additions to the squad. First and foremost, let's talk about the big one, Von Miller. Super Bowl MVP, just came off his second Super Bowl victory of his career with the LA Rams, signed a huge deal. Instead of going back to LA, decided to go to Buffalo. Buffalo, of all places, for a high-prized Super Bowl, you know, coming off a Super Bowl winning edge rusher, signs with Buffalo. That is what this team is about now. That's the new Buffalo Bills. I don't know the last time, I don't know if it's happened in my life, that a high-prized NFL free agent actually decided to go to Buffalo, of all places. But Von Miller did, and he's excited about what's being built in Buffalo, New York right now. and, you know, besides the new stadium, but with the team, what they're building in Buffalo, and what kind of impact is Von Miller going to have? I mean, a two-time Super Bowl champion, a guy who, you know, at his strength and at his best, is a premier pass rusher in the National Football League and can even be one of the top greats at the position when it's all said and done in his career. But the big thing for me with Von Miller joining the Bills team is he joined the Bills because of, again, what they're building in Buffalo, but also at the position. He wants to be the guy to light a spark under some of these young guys on the defense for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, their, you know, big leader that they had, you know, was in the secondary. I mean, it was Tre'Davious White in the secondary at corner, and also the secondary in the back end as well for Buffalo with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Those guys were the leaders of their defense and have been the last couple of years. Now you add in a guy like Von Miller to this defense, teaming him up with some young guys. I mean, you talk about even Gregory Rousseau and Boogie Basham, two guys who were rookies last year that were pretty much in charge of leading the squad on the edge. And then you also add in, you know, AJ Epenesa, a guy who they drafted in, you know, last year or the year before's draft, in the 2021 draft. They had some young guys at the edge rusher position that they were relying a lot on last season. And now you think about it, adding in Von Miller, they also added another veteran as well in Shaq Lawson to that group. That is now a strong edge rushing group that is headlined by one of the top premier pass rushers in the National Football League, along with three guys who are just now coming into their own in the National Football League. And you talk about a year three jump for the edge rusher position. Maybe AJ Epenesa starts getting some opportunities this year. But ultimately, it's going to be that second year impact of Gregory Rousseau, who last year started, you know, had a tremendous rookie year for the Buffalo Bills, and then Boogie Basham, trying to get him more involved as well. The guy had a Wake Forest, you know, represent the home state here in North Carolina. But those four on the edge are going to be an impactful part of this Buffalo Bills team. I mean, I talked about it last year leading up to the NFL draft, before the Bills drafted Gregory Rousseau and Boogie Basham. The Bills' big defense going in, or big weakness on defense going into last season, was their edge rusher, was pass rushers, was getting after the quarterback. They went out and added two guys in the draft, and then this year added two guys in free agency, Shaq Lawson and Von Miller. Those four, along with AJ Epenesa, are going to be a great tandem and a great core, a great rotation, fantastic, one of the best in the National Football League. And then you add them, of course, with Ed Oliver at defensive tackle, who's another top pick as well. Great additions to this Buffalo Bills defense, and they're going to do a lot of pass rushing and a lot of getting after the quarterback this year, completely pressuring them time and time again. I'm excited to see it. And the other big thing last year that has really hurt the Bills in the playoffs, and ultimately some can consider, was the demise of the Buffalo Bills last season, was the secondary, was the depth in the secondary after losing Tre'Davious White late in the season to a torn ACL. A lot of people are concerned about the Buffalo Bills and what was going to happen with that defense, with that secondary, especially at the cornerback position. Can they hold their own? And they got picked apart in the playoffs, picked apart again against the Kansas City Chiefs, and ultimately got gassed in overtime and could not keep up with that Chiefs offense. What'd they do? In the first round, they went out and drafted some depth and a guy who is, you know, in my opinion, going to be a real factor this year for this Bills defense in the first round out of Florida in Kyari Lam. But is Kyari Lam going to be enough to fix the concern on defense when you talk about the depth at the cornerback position? Because behind Tre'Davious White, who will hopefully return this year at full health and be that number one corner again for this Bills defense, and then you got Kyari Lam next to him on the other side of the field, you then have Teron Johnson, Ceron Neal, and Dane Jackson behind him. Not much depth behind those two guys. Still a depth concern in the secondary for the Buffalo Bills, especially, like I said, at the cornerback position. But at safety, they're still great. I mean, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and then they got Jaquan Johnson and Damar Hamlin behind those two. Second, you know, when you talk about the secondary, the safety part is great. The question is the cornerback depth enough? Even after, even after adding Kyari Lam, is it enough to compete this year and to make improvements this year on what was their biggest defense, or their biggest weakness from last season? Can the Buffalo Bills prove that to be the case this year? Because I think ultimately, no matter what happens on offense, no matter what happens with that defensive line, with that edge rushing group, it's still on the secondary. Once it becomes playoff time, once you're facing the top teams and the top offenses in the league, it's going to be the secondary. The secondary is going to be the deciding factor for the Buffalo Bills. And you talk about when you play the Chiefs, when you talk about you're playing the Chargers, the Cincinnati Bengals, these top teams that are going to be coming out of the AFC next year, they have stacked wide receiver groups. They have stacked, you know, pass-first offenses. Your secondary has to be deep enough to compete with these guys, to line up with these guys, and stay fresh and stay on the field. That was the Achilles heel of the Buffalo Bills last year. They cannot let that be the case this year. Again, learn from your mistakes, and we'll see what can happen in Buffalo and see if these guys can hold up. Because ultimately, I don't know if Kyari Lam is enough. It's a great addition. It's a great start, but maybe not enough to fix this entire depth core of the Buffalo Bills defense, especially at the cornerback position. So that's it for the Buffalo Bills. See what they can do this season. Like I said, at the end of the day, still very much Super Bowl contenders this year and could be one of the top teams to come out of the AFC. Now let's switch it up to the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are going into year two with quarterback Mac Jones. And the big question for them, I mean, we're also talking about another sophomore quarterback here, really short in this division. But first, we're going to talk about Mac Jones and the Patriots. Did the Patriots do enough this offseason for Mac Jones to make another jump in his sophomore season? Or is he going to take a sophomore slump, as they like to say, going into year two? That's the question, because right now the talk of the town in New England is who is coaching Mac Jones and who is running Mac Jones's offense. With Josh McDaniels now out of the picture in New England, they now have a huge void as a in their offensive coordinator position. Still haven't filled that position, but it seems like Bill Belichick is being hands off with the offense, focusing on the defense, and letting either Matt Patricia or Joe Judge run the offense. Matt Patricia, a former member of the New England Patriots staff, went on to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Didn't work out for him there. Coming back to New England, he's always been a defensive guy his entire career, and that's kind of what he's trying to bring to the offense right now, it seems, is, you know, some kind of reverse psychology with the Patriots offense. You know, talking about all the things he did on defense, now how do you do the opposite on offense? It seems like that's what he's kind of trying to kind of do. And then Joe Judge, you know, worked with the wide receivers during his time in New England, mainly worked with the special teams group, went on to be the head coach of the New York Giants. The same thing with Matt Patricia. Didn't work out for him. Now coming back to New England, he's also the guy that seems to be working with Mac Jones the most right now. And ultimately, is that even helping Mac Jones at all? With Joe Judge working with him, it's been the talk of the town all offseason long out of New England. All major networks are talking about, you know, the Patriots, Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, what are they doing with this offense? All of that kind of stuff, and it's warranting big questions. And he also talked about the moves the Patriots have made this offseason, the additions they've tried to make on the offense, and you have to question, a team that made the playoffs last year, can they do it again? And have they done enough to surround Mac Jones to help him make that jump in year two to will this team back into the playoffs for the second year in a row, being their quarterback of this team? You know, they went out in the offseason, they traded for a top wide receiver in Devontae Parker, if you consider Devontae Parker a top wide receiver. But I mean, right now, he seems to be the guy that's going to be leading this core. I mean, talk about the other guys on the roster, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, and then you're adding in rookie Tyquan Thornton. I know the Patriots are high on Tyquan Thornton, want to use him a lot in their offense as well. Another young guy they want to try to mix around and move around on the offensive side of the ball. But ultimately, you know, on the offensive line, in the first round of the draft, they got Cole Strange, which everyone thought was a weird, strange pick from the New England Patriots in the first round, a very Bill Belichick, random style pick, you know, coming out of nowhere. I mean, it stumped my bus. I mean, I made, you know, spent hours making graphics for our NFL draft show and did not have one for Cole Strange. That's how strange of a pick it was, that the Patriots took him in the first round out of UT Chattanooga, of all places, in the first round. But, I mean, they added him on the offensive line. You know, Trent Brown seems to be like a sure guy that they're relying on the offensive line. Also got David Andrews at center. So the offensive line, you know, if Cole Strange proves himself to be worthy of that first round selection, seems to be set in front of Mac Jones. But I'm worried about these wide receivers. I mean, Devontae Parker being your number one guy, Jacoby Myers, who, you know, finally scored a touchdown last year, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, they didn't make really too big of an impact. So both guys coming in free agency last year and then Tyquan Thornton, a rookie wide receiver. Is that enough? Is that enough to surround Mac Jones with enough talent around him in the passing game to be able to do what they want to? But at the same time, this is the same Patriots team that won a game last year against the Buffalo Bills. Yes, weather was a huge factor in that game, but they passed the ball, what, 2-3 times and still beat the Buffalo Bills. The ticket for the New England Patriots, and it has been for years, is the run game and the defense. I think that's why Bill Belichick is very hands-off with the offense, very hands-off with Mac Jones in the passing game, because that's not his bread and butter. That's not his style. That's not the Patriot way. The Patriot way is the running game being the strength of the offense and relying on the defense to close out and win games for you. So now let's look at the running game. So the running game for the New England Patriots, pretty much running back with the same group, but also adding in a rookie and an old face as well to what they're bringing in. So Damian Harris seems to be right now the running back one of this offense yet again, but also Ramondre Stevenson coming in last year as a rookie, made a big impact for the New England Patriots, especially as the season went along. His snap share, his usage in the offense went up and up and up every single week. At what point does Ramondre Stevenson potentially maybe take over as the lead back in New England this year? We're also adding in the familiar face in New England in James White, a big player that they had in the Super Bowl back with Tom Brady. Scored some touchdowns, was a real factor in the 28-3 comeback against the Atlanta Falcons. James White, if healthy, seems to be the guy in the passing game for this offense. He has been for years. Expect him to keep that same role. And then also adding in Pierre Strong Jr., a rookie, into the mix. So they got fresh guys at the running back position, all of which have different skill sets that Bill Belichick, you would think has to be high on. And the other thing big in this offense that they're going to rely a lot on is the tight ends. The tight end position is going to be huge in New England. They tried to get it to work last year. I think this year they're going to have a little bit more success with it with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Again, two guys they brought in last year in free agency. But Hunter Henry, more of that inline tight end role, that blocker, that old school Rob Gronkowski type role in the Patriots offense, while Jonnu Smith will be the guy that moves around the field a lot more, lines up more as a wide receiver in the slot. They use him in the backfield some as a blocker. You even throw to him out of the backfield last season. They like being using a big guy like Jonnu Smith as a chess piece in their offense. Expect him to do that yet again. And I think, like I said, this year they're going to try to do that more effectively. I mean, I talked about the issues they have at wide receiver in New England. I think they're going to try to counteract that with these two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Try to use it more effectively in the passing game of this offense, and ultimately make them be the ones that run the passing game of this offense. And then again, just rely on that run game and have the defense close out and win games for you. So let's talk about the defense in New England. I'm going to talk about all the worries on offense, the potential counteractions with the offense. Let's talk about the defense. And the big thing on defense is going to be the linebacker group. It's always been a strength of New England Patriots for years past, but this year, a little bit of a revamped core on that linebacker unit in New England. You talk about Matthew Judon. He's coming in for another year with this team. He had a great year last year, but he was more of the outside will linebacker role, getting after the pass rusher. But on the inside, Juwan Bentley, you got Mac Wilson coming in. I've heard big things out of Mac Wilson that they want to do, coming over from the Cleveland Browns. And then Raekwon McMillan as well. Josh Uche, Ronnie Perkins, some young guys are going to try to get in the works as well. Can these young guys at linebacker live up to the hefty expectations of what the linebacker unit has looked like for years past in New England? That's going to be the big thing on this defense and on Bill Belichick's plate, is getting these young guys ready to roll and start getting these linebackers fitting the mold, figure out what he wants to do with those units. Because that was ultimately always the strength of Bill Belichick's defense. So I want to see, going into training camp, what does that roster look like? What does that depth chart look like at those positions? How does he implement those guys? Which guys is going to rely on week after week? And see how they can do this season. The edge rushing group is going to be a little bit of some interesting situations there. Dietrich Wise Jr., Lawrence Guy, and that defensive tackle. Christian Barmore, he is a stud at D-tackle, a young guy coming up. And then Devon Godchoke, Godcokes as well, Gachos. Yeah. Got him as well at defensive tackle. I might have butchered that one. But still, defensive guys on that defensive line, running back, pretty much the same group there. See how they can do. The linebacker group, so we got to, you know, really look at and keen in on throughout free agency. In the secondary, you know, bringing in Jabril Peppers in the offseason, bringing in Malcolm Butler, having a reunion with him in New England. Seems like Malcolm Butler and Jalen Mills might be their number one and number two guys. I would say probably interchangeably at corner. And then Kyle Duggar and Devin McCourty. And like I said, adding in Jabril Peppers at safety. I think they're going to use a lot of Jabril Peppers at safety. Maybe, you know, line him back more down in the box. And some situations that they can do with him. I mean, it's great to have a guy like Jabril Peppers, especially with a defensive mastermind like Bill Belichick, to be able to use him pretty much anywhere you want to and to be a factor on that defense. That's what Jabril Peppers could bring to this team this year in New England. So I'm excited to also see what he can do. So that wraps up our Patriots. A big thing, like I said, the passing game of this offense, is it ultimately going to be another non-factor? And the other thing is going to be this defense linebacker core in New England. How's Bill Belichick going to fill out these guys, figure out his starters at the position, and see what kind of impact that they can have this year in New England? It's going to be a tough year. I feel like they're going to have to grit a lot of games. They're going to have to rely on the defense a lot, the run game a lot to win games, and to see what they can do this season to make it back, maybe to the playoffs again with Mac Jones entering in a year or two. But I'm just a little bit concerned of this offense, especially with Matt Patricia calling the shots. But, I mean, we've seen it once, we've seen it before. Don't doubt the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick's going to find ways to win games, and I think they just might be able to squeak back into the playoffs potentially for another year in a row with Mac Jones. Now let's go to the third team of the day, and we'll go back to New York, or I guess technically New Jersey where they play at, but the New York Jets. Let's talk about the Jets now because we talked about Mac Jones entering into year two. What about Zach Wilson entering into year two, the former number two overall pick out of BYU going into year two? Are we going to see improvement out of Zach Wilson? Because last year was a tough one. It was a tough one for the rookie last year. Dealt with a lot of issues on the field. A lot of decision-making questions that he had to get wrapped up. But, I mean, toward the end of the season, as the season went along for him, he got back on the field. He started to show a little bit of improvement week after week. And now what do we see going into year two for Zach Wilson and this young Jets squad? I mean, they're trying to trust the process here with the New York Jets. Trust in Joe Douglas to rebuild this team back up from the ground and, you know, hopefully bring them back to their former glory. But we'll see what they can do. It's a big thing this year on the improvement of Zach Wilson. Can Zach Wilson show improvement and continue on that path he, you know, was trying to get on toward the end of the season? They added in some new help for him this year. Adding in a new number one wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, adding in some additions, at tight end and CJ Uzama, trying to, you know, shake out and solidify their offensive line, and also adding in a new running back as well in Breece Hall. So is it enough? I don't want to say is it enough. The pieces are there. Actually, for the Jets, you know, going back to what we just talked about with the Patriots, for the Jets, it seems like the pieces are there. From what we've seen in years past in New York, the pieces might actually be there for Zach Wilson to show some kind of improvement and showcase that he can be the guy worthy of the number two selection in last year's draft. So before we get there, let's talk about the running back group. I like talking about the running backs. I like talking about, you know, trying to figure out and decipher running back situations. Last year, rookie running back Michael Carter toward the end of the season finally took over the lead back role in New York. And then this year, the Jets went out again and got another rookie and one of the high-class prize rookies in this year's draft in Breece Hall out of Iowa State. Those two guys appear to be battling for the starting job right now. I think Breece Hall probably has the upper edge. If I were to be the betting man going into training camp, you'd have to think he is the guy pretty much leading this. It seems like he is, you know, more in line to be a number one back than Michael Carter is. But there's a lot to like last year out of Michael Carter, especially toward the end of the season. But it seems like, yeah, seems like the Jets do view Breece Hall as being their number one guy out of the backfield, a second round pick that's been a high draft pick on him. But they're going to be able to use him a lot in this offense to try to, you know, take some pressure off Zach Wilson in the passing game. You know, they couldn't get the running game pretty much at all early in the season last year, which, you know, forced Zach Wilson to do a lot of bad situations that he didn't want to be in a lot of games consistently, consecutively for the Jets last year. So maybe they get that running game going now with Breece Hall and Michael Carter, you know, Breece Hall being that lead back style, and then pushing in some splashes of Breece Hall, some Tevin Coleman a little bit, maybe some Ty Johnson. But I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of Breece Hall in this offense this year, you know, coming in as a rookie. And then at wide receiver, tight end, talk about the weapons Zach Wilson will be able to throw to this year. I talked about CJ Uzama coming in from the Cincinnati Bengals to this squad. Also, Tyler Conklin still there as well. So two tight ends they can try to work with. Uzama used a lot of him in Cincinnati. I think the Jets can try to use that same, you know, kind of effect with him. And then you got Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Corey Davis, and Denzel Mims. You know, three young guys, and then Corey Davis, you know, got him on a big contract three years ago from the Tennessee Titans. He kind of, it's trying to pan out to being worth his due, but it seems like it's, you know, starting to turn into that case for these young guys, especially Elijah Moore last year and Garrett Moore, Elijah Moore last year, Garrett Wilson this year will be the guys to take over this wide receiver room and build, you know, build and grow with Zach Wilson in this offense. I think it's great to have two young wide receivers that, you know, are right there at the same age with Zach Wilson that he can grow with throughout his entire career, and they can grow with together, keep building that connection. Denzel Mims starting to maybe feel like that odd man out, you know, hasn't really shown to be what he, you know, shown what he could be with this offense, and, you know, show what they expected him to be within this offense. But I still think they can try to use a little bit of him. But Corey Davis will probably take that number two, number three role. And I would say it wouldn't be long until Garrett Wilson solidifies that number one role in New York. And like I said earlier, the offensive line, I think it might finally be set for the New York Jets. And, like, I mean, finally. I mean, it's been years you've been waiting for the offensive line group to do something in New York with the Jets. I think this might be the year that they finally have figured it out and got something in place that can work. I mean, George Fant and Mekhi Becton at tackle, two big guys that I think could really have a great year. And you got Lakin Tomlinson and Elijah Vera Tucker at guard, Connor McGovern at center. That's a good group of five. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the depth behind those guys. I mean, Connor McDermott, Dan Freeney, Max Mitchell, those type of guys, see how well they hold up in the depth end if you potentially have some injuries with this group. But if they stay healthy, this starting five on the offensive line in New York looks to be a promising group that I think can really work out for this team this year. And I think that they can finally have some sort of reliability in this offensive line to where they don't have to, you know, they don't have to worry about it anymore. I think they finally got it in place where this is no longer a worry of this team. And like I said, ultimately now it's just up to Zach Wilson to show improvement and to get this team, you know, up the win column two or three more going into this season to just show some kind of improvement and make sure the process is still on track. I still think, you know, out of all the teams in the National Football League, it seems the Jets are the ones that have the longest process, but they're moving along. I mean, they're, you know, consistently year after year trying to get that way and show improvement. So the big thing is going to be that offensive line. If they can, you know, prove that they are, like I'm saying, reliable and finally in place, this team can finally start making a jump forward going into this season. So I'm excited to see that finally coming out of New York. And then on the defense, adding in rookie Sauce Gardner, Amon Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati, will be a big addition to the secondary for Rob Saleh, a secondary that was, you know, horrible. I mean, straight up horrible last year, especially the cornerback position, one of the worst cornerback rooms in the entire National Football League. Now it's starting to look like maybe, I mean, is Sauce Gardner enough? I mean, it's a big ask for Sauce Gardner as a rookie to come in and be the leader of the secondary in this defense. But no one has more swagger, I feel like, going into this year's draft, more confidence going into this year's draft and this year's rookie season than Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati. I think he could be up for the challenge of being the leader of this defensive group, defensive secondary. But is it really fixed? Is that secondary fixed just because of the addition of Sauce Gardner? Kind of the same thing we just talked about with the Buffalo Bills adding in Kyari Lam. Does this rookie impact, this new rookie influence, truly fix this team and this team's weakness? All right, we talked about behind Sauce Gardner, you're looking at DJ Reed, Bryce Hall, Michael Carter II, also came out of the draft last year, and then Brandon Ickles. Still, you know, not the best group. Still not a eye-popping, you know, depth group. They are at the secondary position, at the cornerback position. So is the confidence, is the swagger of Sauce Gardner going to be enough to elevate these guys around him? And can he step in and immediately be that guy in year one? I mean, you talk about the impact, you know, just my, you know, my favorite team, we can talk about them last year having to rely a lot and a big ask out of Eric Stokes last year, going in and, you know, after the injury to Jair Alexander, had to be that number one corner, and he was up to the challenge. I mean, Eric Stokes had a great season last year, was locked down at the position against some of the top guys in the league. Can Sauce Gardner be at that level as a rookie and take, you know, a huge step, even as a rookie, going into his first season in the National Football League, to immediately stepping in and being a leader and being an impactful player on the defense? Can Sauce Gardner do that as a rookie and elevate these guys around him? That's what they're asking a lot out of him going into this season. And like I said, it's a big ask, but he might be up for it going into this year. The other thing to discuss with the Jets defense is also going to be that defensive edge unit, their pass rushing unit. It's going to be strong. It's going to be very strong in New York this year. I'm excited to see what they can do. I mean, you got guys like Carl Lawson. I mean, they're deep. Carl Lawson, Vinny Curry, John Franklin Myers, C.J. Mosley off the edge as well, potentially. Jermaine Johnson, another first-round pick that they had out of Florida State. And then at defensive tackle, Sheldon Rankins, Quinnen Williams starting the being the starting guys. You added in a former 49er to team back up with Rob Saleh and Solomon Thomas. They're deep. The New York Jets are deep on the edge and deep in the middle of their defensive line. Their front seven is deep in New York this year. Hamsaw Nasir-Lerline, with Quincy Williams, some other guys they have at the linebacker position. Jamin Sherwood, they moved him to linebacker. They got some linebackers on this team and some great additions that they have made to make this a deep and strong unit at the edge rusher position. I also like, you know, one of my favorite additions in all of the, you know, this maniac free agency that just happened, one of the most underrated ones was Jordan Whitehead. Jordan Whitehead coming to New York from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think will make a big impact at free safety for the Jets this season, teaming up with LaMarcus Joyner. I thought they got him at a huge value, a huge, you know, market value for the Jets, moving on from Marcus May, and pretty much getting a guy who can be just as great in Jordan Whitehead. Wanting to prove himself, coming over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, going to a real, you know, a more rebuild process team like the Jets, I think he can make a big impact to this team coming in this offseason, coming in from this offseason for this Jets team. But again, that deep and honestly pretty strong D-line and edge rusher group with the Jets could be what, you know, tries to push this team to start getting some wins this year. And then, you know, trying to get some improvement with that offense under Zach Wilson will be the big thing to see from this team this season. So we got one more to go, and then we'll wrap it up here today with the AFC East. Let's talk about the last team on the agenda. Let's go down to South Beach. Miami Dolphins. Time to talk about them with new head coach Mike McDaniel. And the big thing for the Jets this year, the Dolphins this year, will Tua prove everyone wrong? Can Tua Tagovailoa finally prove all the doubters, all of the haters, can he prove them wrong this season is the big thing for the Miami Dolphins. And they added a big weapon this year for Tua Tagovailoa in Tyreek Hill. a big trade from the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, five draft picks they sent to get Tyreek Hill, immediately gave him a new contract to make him one of the top paid players at his position, an absolute speed weapon, and that is what the Dolphins are relying on this year. That is their going to be their philosophy. Their team is going to be speed. You look at the guys they added in at running back. You look at Mike McDaniel coming over from the San Francisco 49ers to be, you know, their offensive play caller, to be their head coach now. He values speed. He's coming from that Niners tree, that Shanahan tree that values speed with their team, not just on the offense, their entire team valuing speed. What do? After hiring Mike McDaniel, they get one of the fastest guys in the National Football League, one of the biggest downfield weapons that we have ever seen in Tyreek Hill. Now, will he be able to pair up with Tua Tagovailoa? That's going to be the question. I mean, we've already seen the videos of, you know, it's Tua pretty much underthrowing Tyreek Hill at times within this offense. And, you know, some of the routes that they've shown with those two trying to work on their connection. I think the big thing for the, you know, Miami Dolphins is to keep doubting them. Keep doubting the Dolphins. I mean, last year, maybe a game and a half away from the playoffs. And the year before that, they were a 10-win team that barely missed out in the playoffs. They've been knocking on the door the last 2 years of getting into the playoffs with Tua Tagovailoa. This year, they're going to try to do it again. They're going to try to sneak in here while everyone is doubting them and hating on them week after week. This is a team that can get hot. They can get hot with their defense, and if they figure out things on offense and Tua finally starts to prove everybody wrong, this is going to be a team that surprised a lot of people this year. I'm really high on the Miami Dolphins. I like them a lot, and I think that they can try to squeak away into the playoffs yet again. I mean, they're going to be another team that's going to be very, very annoying, an annoying team to go up against that can get very hot at the right time. That's what the Miami Dolphins are, and this year you're adding in that new impact this team is going to bring into the table in speed. So we talked about Tyreek Hill at wide receiver. Now let's talk about the running backs, because the running backs is where the speed is really coming into play with this Mike McDaniel offense. Also, you know, you got to talk about the Shanahan tree, the, you know, Niners offense that they run in San Francisco. They're bringing a lot of that, you know, recipes, you know, pieces here and there into play in Miami. So you talk about the running back additions coming to the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, we have Chase Edmonds coming over from the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about the Cardinals earlier in the week, how they ended up paying James Conner, let Chase Edmonds walk. Chase Edmonds came over to the Miami Dolphins to team up. Mike McDaniel really wanted to get him in free agency, was able to do so. They're going to use him a lot as pretty much the main guy of this offense in the running game. But also, you know, putting in some splashes of Raheem Mostert as well, coming over from the San Francisco 49ers, coming off yet another injury. But we'll see if his speed is still there. This guy is one of the fastest players at his position. And pretty much when you get him on the outside, even when you, you know, give him some space in the middle, he can take off like a bullet and just be gone down the field. Big thing for him, though, is keeping him healthy as well. But then also adding in Sony Michel and still having Myles Gaskin. Maybe Myles Gaskin might be a late cut of this team once we get closer to training camp. But Mike McDaniel really wanted to build and, you know, rebuild this running back roster on this team, and he did so immediately. And, you know, right after taking over as the head coach of this team, made sure he went out and got his guys at the running back position and getting his speed that he is going to implement that West Coast style offense that they like to have. But also, at wide receiver, we talked about Tyreek Hill. How about Jalen Waddle? I mean, this guy had a phenomenal rookie season last year. Going into year two, he's no longer going to be the focal point of this offense, which only means that defensive coordinators might not have their eye on him. And he is going to make big impacts if that is the case. Do not keep your eye off of Jalen Waddle. But at the same time, you got to keep an eye on Tyreek Hill. This offense in Miami has some weapons finally that they can implement. They also added in Cedric Wilson, a big, you know, reliable catcher from the Dallas Cowboys as well. They got some guys now and some players on this offensive side of the ball in Miami to surround Tua Tagovailoa. You know, they brought back Mike Gesicki on that franchise tag as well that he has a big repertoire with at tight end. Tua Tagovailoa finally has his weapons. He finally has some weapons worthy of proving some people wrong this year. So I'm hoping that he can do it. I've always been high on Tua. I've never been off the Tua train. I said, just wait. And we'll see if it's finally time this year in Miami for Tua to make a jump that we've been waiting on him to make since he joined the Miami Dolphins in the National Football League. However, the Dolphins still have one of the best defenses in place that, you know, pretty much has stayed the exact same under that Brian Flores era that Brian Flores really made a strong point of building during his time as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Now Mike McDaniel in place as the head coach of this team. That defense pretty much still in the same place that Brian Flores was able to build for this team. I mean, talk about the young stud guys that they have that are, you know, been the guys that are, you know, have been building this defense. Raekwon Davis, Christian Wilkins, you know, other guys at the edge as well. Emmanuel Ogba, Jalen Phillips, a young guy from last year. And then you also have, you know, Jerome Baker. They're going to rely a lot on Andrew Van Ginkle this year, finally getting him some more opportunities on this defense. And always has been the case in Miami, the secondary set to be great yet again, with Zaven Howard and Byron Jones leading the way at the cornerback position, two lockdown defenders, one and two at cornerback, Noah Igbinoghene behind them, a young guy that, you know, has struggled at times, but ultimately he's still trying to find his own, being that number three corner of this defense. Brandon Jones, Eric Rowe, and Javon Holland at safety. Javon Holland had, you know, one of the best, you know, safety seasons last year in the entire National Football League. Even as a rookie last year, he made a huge impact, was all over the football last year at free safety, expecting to do the same thing this year going into year two. There's a lot of talent and a lot of young talent. I mean, also adding in Melvin Ingram the last couple, you know, couple weeks ago as well on this defense to come off the edge. The Dolphins still have some talent on this defense that makes them one of the strongest defenses in the National Football League, top to bottom. So expect them to, you know, keep that on that same level, keep that, you know, still being the case this year. And the other thing for the Dolphins, I mean, we talk about the new additions on offense. We talk about, you know, building around Tua Tagovailoa. We talk about this defense pretty much staying formidable and the same, you know, guys in place from the last couple of years. How about the addition on the offensive line? The one that has been needed and necessary for years that they haven't been able to make in Miami, they finally did this year. They signed a huge tackle that they have been waiting for years in Miami, in Teron Armstead. I was screaming it, you know, screaming it all offseason from Miami. Teron Armstead is your guy, and he's right there. You got to go get him. And they finally did, paid him well-deservedly so, because he is now the guy that is going to bring consistency and stability to this offensive line in Miami that they've been searching for years to surround Tua Tagovailoa with. So now you got a, you know, starting five up front with Teron Armstead, Robert Jones, Connor Williams, Robert Hunt, and Liam Etchenberg, a young guy as well, filling in at right tackle. But you now have your blindside left tackle in Teron Armstead that, you know for a fact he is going to be a stud every single game. He, you know, has been for years in New Orleans. Getting him and locking him up in the offseason was one of the best moves of the entire offseason in the National Football League this year that I was screaming the entire time. But it also pushes Austin Jackson now to the sidelines, where maybe he can even start making an impact as a depth guy as well. I mean, you got Connor Williams back there too, Solomon Kinley. See if he can, you know, keep his job also as a backup guard in the offseason, you know, excuse me, through training camp and throughout the rest of the offseason. But finally, like I said with the Jets, finally, a top five group that seems to be in place around this young quarterback. And, you know, the Dolphins got what they were looking for. A, you know, surefire, reliable franchise left tackle to protect your quarterback with. And they got that this offseason in Teron Armstead. I'm stoked about, you know, the Dolphins getting him and adding him to this team and seeing what he can do. So the Dolphins, keep sleeping on them. You know, as Steph Curry says, you know, holding up the sleep. Keep sleeping on the Dolphins. I'm going to stay with them and hope that they do big things this year. They've been close the last couple of years of getting there. I hope that this is the year. I hope this is the year they squeak in as a wild card team. I don't think there's any shot that they can compete with the Bills for the division, but I think the Dolphins have everything in place to try to get back into the playoffs and snagging one of these three wild card spots this season. So that wraps it up for our AFC East season preview. So thank you all for tuning in. Those of you stopping by, I appreciate the support. Like I said in the intro, you're still here. Why not hit the like button? Why not hit the subscribe button as well? Even hit that notification bell. Know when we go live. You know, with the wonky schedule that we have, that keeps you up to date of when we're live and when we're you know, live on the show talking about different things every time we come onto the show. So thank you all for tuning in with the season preview for this year's NFL season. I'm stoked and excited to start getting through this offseason, start getting through some training camp, and getting to some real action to talk about on the football field. But next week, we will be back with the NFC East to discuss. A big contract on the way in Washington this week with Terry McLaurin. So a lot of things to discuss next week in the AFC East, or NFC East, excuse me. So stick around for that next week, and then we'll keep things rolling around throughout the rest of the offseason. You guys are terrific. You guys are great. Thank you all for tuning in, and until next time, peace.